Welcome to Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing undervalued tight ends. It's measured by Dynasty RDP compared to where they're going in underdog. All right. So we've done this exercise with the quarterbacks, with the running backs, the wide receivers, and now we are on to tight ends. So I think this sets a good, a good context here for looking at some potential value plays and looking at some potential sells, right? And as we look forward to try and shape our rosters and fortify our rosters going into the 2022 season, this is some shots that we should be trying to strive for. And so here are some thoughts and some guys that we've been talking about, some guys that we really haven't been talking about that maybe we need to rethink of. First one here is Robert Tonyan. And Tanya had a big 2022 breakout. He finishes tight end 5. It was his fourth season in the NFL. His encore only lasted 5 games into 2021. It was pretty brutal. Less than 20 catches, though. So, again, he's never really been a high-volume guy. It's amazing to say that with basically one top 6 season and 109 career targets that Robert Tonyan is the most proven tight end or wide receiver on the Green Bay roster. But I think that is true. At least, if you want to count Randall Cobb, maybe Sammy Watkins, maybe, but they're very much past their prime at this point. And Tonyan, I think, is arguably the most proven weapon they have, at least in this iteration of this offense. Certainly that have done it in this offense, right? I think that's unquestionably true. Cobb, it was a prior iteration and Sammy Watkins wasn't here. So when you measure it that way, the loss of Devontae Adams leaves Robert Tonyan as being basically the senior man in the tight end or wide receiver core. I think Aaron Jones is probably your best receiving threat at present in terms of especially fantasy options, but Tonyan there, I think it ranks at the top of the position, at the top of the tight end and wide receiver core there. Underdog's pretty bullish on him at tight end 14, but of course Dynasty not so much. They have to have him down at tight end 29. I think you could ask a couple questions. Does tight end 14 matter? That's one question. And if it doesn't, do you really want to take a guy in year 6 who has an average of 22 targets per season throughout his career? I mean, is that really what you want to take? My question would be, though, and I think this is one of those situations where you have to look at, give me a guy that can make a difference. And, typically I would pitch the, hey, let's give the high efficiency guy on low volume and sort of hope that he gets a bunch of volume, right? You're kind of hoping for that. It might have been a Firkser bet, right? That's in a lot of ways, that's a Goddard bet. Those types of bets, like that's one way to make it. I think the other way to make it is you say, hey, listen, like there's a potential for some volume, right? With a guy like Tonyan. And there's the potential, and we've seen this, that he could lead the league in touchdowns. At least a tight end position touchdowns. He did so with 11 in 2020. And with a lack of established receiving weapons around him, you think of ways that he could really outproduce his value. And you just say, hey, is Aaron Rodgers going to fall off a cliff? Or is he going to play maybe a little bit worse than his MVP season, but still throw for something in the range of about 4,000 yards, 38 to 4,000 is basically where he's been at every year since 2014, except for 2017 when he only played 7 games. So basically when you go back to 2014, he's thrown for 25 or more touchdowns in every season that he's played a full season. There's just that one season he missed in 2017. And he's thrown for at least 3,800 yards, right? When you start spreading that around, you say, all right, let's give him 4,030. And you start spreading it around. There's 10 to 12 that could go to Tonyan, and all of a sudden that number, looks really right, right? That's something I think's plenty in his range of outcomes, even though maybe his long-term stock isn't all that great. So, you know, his profile and resume and stuff isn't all that great, but could he absolutely produce double-digit touchdowns? Yes, and that is different than a lot of people in this range. So he's really interesting in that tight end 29 range. Again, I think also interesting to explore in the trade market. All right, next one up is Rob Gronkowski, and it's amazing that he's underdog tight end 13, yet he is not officially under contract through 2022. I think the market is pretty near certain that he's going to return for a 2022 season and return to Tampa Bay. Finishes tight end 7 in 2021 in only 12 games, but finished with 14.3 points per game, which is tied for tight end 3. It's the rare profile, again, a little bit like Tanyan, but better, where he's in the 20s, the tight end position, and can make a big difference. He probably doesn't have the tight end 1 overall volume in his range of outcomes, right? Something that could actually get all the way home for a tight end 1, but top 5 is well within his range of outcomes. We saw that him on the verge of that in only 12 games last year. And we saw an elite start to him as well. So if you're planning on using Gronkowski in your draft plan or on your team, you know, I think a couple things you can do around it, right? Insulate. Right? We talk about there's 50 and 500 guys all over the place, right? Insulate yourself with a guy that you maybe like, that, you know, pitch yourself an idea of how they overperform. Maybe you do that with two guys, right? And or you use in a tight end premium, you're sort of banking on Gronkowski being a tight end 2 or tight end 3. I have him. He's going to probably be in that 2-3, or really that 3-4 type window. He'll be an every week starter if he plays, but if he's not, I'm not destitute. He was more flex centric than he was really a core to my plan at tight end. So I think you can both go higher than him, and, you know, if it's one tight end, I think there's plenty of different ways to do it, but you always want to be in tight end premium, sort of adding elite assets. So I think you can try and add around him, even above him, that can make him a little bit safer here for your team. If you're not totally dependent on him, that's probably good. A good candidate to actually insulate with him, especially in a premium format, Zach Ertz. So he had an incredibly turbulent offseason. We should do one of these things. You know, I did this in the offseason where I basically read you the news from like a 2-week span, and it was like, I think there was like 68 quarterbacks that were going to change teams during that time span, approximately. And we could do this on Zach Ertz. He resigned with Arizona in free agency, and that was after a trade during the season last year, when he looked basically washed up, and he really resurrected his career. So he's re-signed by Arizona. He benefits from Christian Kirk departing. Then it's a big downgrade with Marquise Brown coming back, but then he finally benefits from DeAndre Hopkins' suspension to start the season. Overall, I don't know. Let's call it neutral. It's not a worse situation than it was last year, right? It's neutral to maybe better, and another offseason in this offense. It's kind of interesting. So overall, he's at tight end 10. He's 15 in Dynasty RDP. Listen, 4.8 targets per game, which was good for tight end 29, tight end 19 in points per game in the first 6 games of last year. When he moved to Arizona, he averaged 7.2 targets per game and was tight end 6 in points per game. So you really see that uptick in volume. It's like a 50% increase there in your volume, and you really, really like that. I think he could fit totally in that range and be a top. It wouldn't shock me if he's a top 6 finisher at all, right? So I think that's a really good price for him. I think there's ceiling on top of that cost, that tight end 15 in Dynasty, and there's his floor is probably right around there. So pretty optimistic for Ertz. Again, I like him in some tight end premium formats. I think the one I just did, I went back to back with tight ends early, and then I came back with him later on, getting Ertz to pair with Gronkowski, right? Sort of put them together. And then I went Kittle and Goddard early on. So I got a blend across the positions. Again, there's some risk with Kittle. There's some risk with Gronkowski. But you sort of put it all together. And I've got, you know, if three of those guys are going in a week, I'm feeling pretty good, right? So that's kind of the blend that you're looking for there. All right. Next one here. We get down to the bottom of the list a little bit here and some guys. I think Tyler Higbee's basically your tight end version of an innings eater. Him and Hayden Hurst both qualify for this. So these are the last basically two guys that you discuss in this podcast. And when you look at it, right, you're just kind of doing the Logan Thomas type deal basically what are you sort of doing over expectation, and he is very much Higbee is I would say like a I don't know we'll call it like a. Like a slightly above median producer on an efficiency basis. Like you could parse it a little bit. He's 51st percentile last year in sort of points per route run. He's 76th on his career. He's about 79th in terms of yards per route run in his career at 1.4. When you start looking at some of the higher guys, though, it comes down a little bit. You know, his PFF grade's decent, you know, so he's got some stuff there. He just doesn't get targeted a huge amount of times. Like he's targeted just below the median in terms of targets per route run and such. So, I mean, you just kind of look at that, and again, you look at profiles that blend in. That one kind of blends in, right? That's a long, circuitous way of saying he kind of blends in. But he could be totally a tight end too in that range, right? So if you're, you know, do I want to take a shot on Kmet or do I want to take a shot on Higbee, right? I mean, I don't know. I'll let other people sort of make that bet, and I'll just see if I can get someone to fall for me, like a couple of rounds, right? That's sort of the bet placement that I would have. So again, while I think this exercise likes him in terms of he's an RDP of 24 and an underdog of 19, like part of me would say, who cares all that much in terms of his production? But I do think from a hey, if you're just kind of letting the board come to you, do you want to take a guy like Kmet in the ninth round, or do you want to take a guy like Higbee in the 15th? Right, that would sort of be my thought. Or, you know, are you going to take a guy like, Irv Smith in like the 10th round, or do you want to take Higbee in the 15th, right? Brevin Jordan's ahead of him, Gerald Everett's ahead of him, right? You start looking around and you're like, all right, right. I could just wait on some of these guys and take, you know, Hunter Henry, for example, or Tyler Higbee, right? And just listen, I could take a little bit better profile at a different position in that range. It's kind of the pitch that I would have for Tyler Higbee. And then one last one that I find interesting is Hayden Hurst. Again, I think he's basically kind of below the innings eater. He's a bad innings eater in terms of, you know, his targets per route run last year was like 37th percentile. In overall in his career, he's targeted on 16.4% of his routes. That's 61st percentile. So you're like, all right, like he's about 55th percentile in terms of yards per route run in his career at 1.21. You start looking around, like it's right sort of at the innings eater or below it. It was below it last year, for sure. But that's kind of where he is. But then you look and you say, all right, like, well, what value could a guy like Hayden Hurst offer to us? Well, he can offer some 22nd in terms of routes at the tight end position per drop back they ran. And if you think that they're going to be a team that's going to run more passes this year. Listen, they were 20th in dropbacks per game last year. They're actually 21st in plays. So if those numbers sort of bump up, all of a sudden you could be like, all right, this is something that could actually be interesting, and he could totally produce in a tight end two landscape. Listen, he has a prior top 12 seasonal finish on his resume in the Kyle Pitts era in Atlanta. So you just start looking at that and you're like, all right, like he's a guy that could eat innings for me. It's not going to be super, super pretty, but he could eat innings for me. It's not the worst thing. You know, you look at him, CJ Uzama, 12th most routes in the league last year. He departs in free agency at 461. He had, is that something that a guy like Hayden Hurst could replicate? I mean, yeah, that's not entirely unreasonable to suspect that he could sort of be in that range. He was fourth in routes in 2020, right? So he's, and again, what was he? 5,506, right? That's what he did with it. But you'll take that as a tight end two type candidate coming at a tight end three type cost. So that would sort of be my pitch for Hayden Hurst. And if you believe in Burrow, right, if you believe in this offense, if you believe they're going to throw it a lot more, right, don't spend wide receiver one cost on that bet. Cash in at a big payout for a guy like Hurst who could, you know, be a tight end one if that type of scenario paid. And it's dirt cheap with you making that bet. I think that's a better bet to make than trying to invest at guys at their ceiling. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.